Hello friends, Denny Pruto here with a lesson from Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer 36. What are the benefits which do in this life accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification? The benefits which do in this life accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification are assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, increase of grace, and perseverance therein to the end. As you can see on the whiteboard just behind me, I have the answer to the catechism question depicted, and justification, adoption, and sanctification with an arrow pointing down, indicating that certain benefits flow from or accompany justification, adoption, and sanctification. There are five benefits: assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, increase of grace, and perseverance therein, that is, in grace, perseverance to the end. I have five texts of Scripture that help us understand the answer to the Catechism and, as is our practice, validate the truth that is in the Catechism. The first text that I've selected is Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Assurance of God's love. How do you have assurance of God's love? Listen to verse 5 in Romans 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Why do we have an assurance of God's love? Why do you have an assurance of God's love? The Holy Spirit of the living God has been poured into your heart. God is love. This is how the Bible defines him. He is love. And when the Holy Spirit is poured out into your heart, the love of God is poured out into your heart, and you experience God's love in your heart and in your soul and in your inner being. This is how you are assured of God's love. The fact that the Holy Spirit is poured out into your heart and God's love is poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit is a token of God's love. This is one way in which God loves you. Romans 5 also says God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And how do you know that Christ died for you? How do you say with the Apostle Paul, he loved me and he gave up himself for me? You are able to say that because the Holy Spirit, God's love, has been poured out into your heart, and God's love poured out into your heart by the Spirit assures you of the fact that Christ did indeed die for you. The love of God on the cross and the love of God in your heart. And so, thanks be unto God, you are assured of God's love. And as a result, you have peace of conscience. You are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is applied to you. Here is the contrast that the writer to the Hebrews makes between the Old Testament sacrifices, which involve the shedding of blood, the slaying of a bull or an ox or a lamb, and the letting of the animal's blood and the comparison made with Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Romans chapter 9 says. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more, you see the comparison there? How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more will the blood of Christ purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? To serve God properly, you must have a clear conscience, a clean conscience. And before the conscience is cleansed by the blood of Christ, and before you are forgiven, you feel guilt. That's your conscience speaking. And you need peace of conscience. You do not need that guilt continually rising up within you, and as a result, feeling bad because of what you've done. Oh yes, what you've done is wrong. If you've lied to a contemporary, if you've stolen something from your parents, if you've hated your brother, which falls under the commandment, you shall not murder, you have committed sin. And so you need peace of conscience. You need a clear conscience. And so you ask God to forgive you on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done. And thankfully, the blood of Christ cleanses your conscience and enables you to serve the living God. What a beautiful thing this really is, and how wonderful it is that Jesus Christ has done this for you. And so, you have assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Here is another important aspect of justification, adoption, and sanctification, and the benefits that flow from them. This is Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. When you are plucked out of the kingdom of Satan and brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, you are a person who has received righteousness from Jesus Christ as a free gift. This is part of your justification. And you have peace with God. Jesus Christ has paid the penalty due to you for your sins, and God is not holding your sins against you. Imagine that. He is not coming back to you later and saying, look, Denny, look at how you lied to your contemporary in the church, and you need to be punished for that. No, God is not coming back to you and holding your sin against you, because Jesus Christ has paid the penalty due to you for your sins. And because of the Holy Spirit residing in you, you have joy in the Holy Spirit. You have a deep-seated joy that comes from knowing that you are right with God, that you are a child of God, and that you are being point by point moment by moment, week by week, month by month, year by year, being changed into the image of Jesus Christ. This is God's good work in you. And so, as a result of the work of God, you have joy in the Holy Spirit. And then what does the Catechism tell us? There is increase of grace. Increase of grace. Imagine now that as you go through life, God is prepared and does in fact work in you so that you grow in grace. One of the great texts that speaks about this is Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You see, the Apostle Paul says, work out your salvation. Work out the implications of your salvation. You have been forgiven. You have been justified. You've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now work out the implications of your salvation since you have been born again to a living hope and you're pointed in the direction of heaven. And the Apostle Paul says, you are able to do this. You are able to work out the implications of your salvation. How so? Verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. You not only have the desire to obey God, but God places it in you to actually accomplish the things that God commands. He works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. And the good pleasure of God, of course, is first of all given to us in the Ten Commandments, the standard of our life, the way we should live before God in this world, as reflected in the Ten Commandments. So, God is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And this is the case day after day after day, week after week after week, month after month after month. God is at work in you. Grace, the grace of God, continues to work in you. And you go down the path then of sanctification. You are being changed by the grace of God in your life. And so, as the Catechism says, you have the assurance of God's love. You experience peace of conscience. You have joy in the Holy Spirit. And you experience increase of grace. God is at work in you. And it's not just that He performed one work in you, but He continues to work in you. And this is the wonder of it. And so, what is to take place? You will persevere to the end. And the wonder of perseverance is that your perseverance is really God's perseverance. He will not forsake you. Philippians 1:6. Paul says this with regard to the saints at Philippi. And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. God says to you, He will not leave you or forsake you. That if you have genuinely been born again, if you have been changed in the inner person, and God has inclined your heart to follow Him, God promises you He will complete the good work in you which he began, and he will take you into glory. And when Jesus Christ comes a second time in glory, you will be raised with the saints, and you will be caught up in the air with Jesus Christ, and you will ever more be with Jesus Christ the Lord. He will complete the good work he began in you. You have what is called perseverance therein until the end. Listen to the Catechism answer again. The benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification are assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, increase of grace, and perseverance therein until the end. Praise be unto God for the benefits that you receive from Jesus Christ as a result of his death and resurrection. Thanks for listening.